We will see if the pictures come. But firstly, I want to thank everyone, the organisers and sponsors of this symposium today, for having the vision to organise it, and to MoMA for having the vision to hold Richard's exhibition, and to the initiators of the symposium for having this for organising this day at this very momentous time for the Russian avant-garde. I would say that MAPS, the Moscow Architecture Preservation Society, who I'm representing today, and everyone else in the field, and that now includes MoMA, having initiated this conference, are all operating at a time when a wind of change is blowing in through the attitudes towards the buildings of the avant-garde. And this exhibition is very much part of that. It's a manifestation of passion for an appreciation of the avant-garde, and it's that very rare thing. It's a body of art which is also a polemic, and the polemic doesn't take away from the art, and that makes it doubly valuable. Richard said when he, in his introduction, I believe, to the book that was published, that he wanted to place these buildings in the international modernist pantheon. And the dual publication of the book and the showing and the exhibition of the pictures and the likelihood that these are going to be taken elsewhere, it really ensures that that is going to be achieved. The exhibition and this symposium today is very much one of the stepping stones out of the bog in which these buildings have found themselves since the 1930s. And there are a lot of other stepping stones out of that bog which have been formed over the last 2 years, really. I think everyone here would very much agree that the Moscow Heritage at Risk Conference was a turning point in terms of attitudes within Russia and outside Russia towards the buildings of the avant-garde. And I wanted to show you some pictures of a change, but to the Kowchuk Club, but actually most of the pictures that I was going to show you've seen today in one or other form. Oh, look, there we go. Yeah, okay, so I might just... Oh, yeah, fine, okay. Hang on. Okay, brilliant. Yes, these are the pictures I wanted to show. You will know that the top representatives who came to the Moscow Heritage at Risk Conference were all... they had an audience with Luzhkov, and quite a lot of promises were made. Not many of them have been fulfilled yet, but there was a change in the appearance of this building at any rate since that meeting. You see the lettering on top. Well, shortly after the conference, it disappeared. And this is a very simple thing, but a heartening thing that these changes are happening. I want to just mention a couple of other stepping stones apart from the Heritage at Risk Conference and today's symposium and the exhibition that are leading us towards a new attitude to the buildings. This is very much the also the establishment of the foundation of the Russian avant-garde, which Senator Gordeev presented to us this morning, which was incredibly interesting to hear about, and very interesting to hear about his vision for the structure of the organisation of the restoration project, the Melnikov House. And it will be also very interesting, I think, to hear his vision for the structure of the foundation itself, which was something that wasn't touched on. Other important things that have been happening are the new interest in the Narkomfin House, the appearance of an investor, which we might be hearing about a little bit more today, and also the publication of a report which was done jointly between our organisation, the Moscow Architects Preservation Society, and Save Europe's Heritage, which was published in May this year, and made sure that this debate sort of remained centre stage over the summer months. The press response was really quite overwhelming to the report. We didn't expect anything like that. We had the press conference in Sarkisian's in the museum. He always hosts the MAPS events. And our first press conference 3 years ago when we formed in reaction to the destruction of three landmark buildings in the centre of town, was attended by a few journalists. This press conference was absolutely packed, and what it showed is that the press in Russia is incredibly hungry for this story, especially if they can use other people's words. And this report was written by a group of international experts from Britain, from Germany, Russia, of course, America, and it includes academics and campaigners and journalists. And the press were delighted to be able to use their words to express what many see as a really critical problem. And the press has been outside Russia as well, not just inside Russia. And I met the other day a writer, James Meek, in London, who writes novels set in Russia and is an acclaimed journalist in his own right about Russia. And he said, and I was delighted to hear him say this, he said, "Yes, I feel there's been a bit too much coverage of this subject in the foreign press." So I felt that we'd really succeeded there in kind of pushing it forward as another paradigm through which people are understanding and perceiving Russia at the moment. MAPS, working with the press, is an absolute priority for MAPS. We were founded by three journalists, so it's sort of what we understand, and we pledged to try and give Russian preservationists an international platform in terms of press. So this report is actually available in the Architectural League of New York bookshop for anyone interested, or ask me afterwards. And any members of the press who are here, or cash-strapped preservation organisations, you get a free copy. One of the results of the report is that a few buildings have been listed from the under threat section in the report. The report is an introduction to Moscow's architecture of all eras, but there are two chapters on the avant-garde. And then there is a section on under threat, pastiche, which is a big problem, sham replicas in Moscow, and losses. And the final section is called What to Do, and there are practical kind of ideas of how inhabitants can campaign for the building they live in or in their area. Something that the Foundation of the Russian Avant-Garde has been doing, which Senator Gudeva spoke about this morning, is sending applications to the Moscow Heritage Committee for listing buildings of the avant-garde. And that has been one of the factors towards listing these buildings, as has their appearance in the report. I went into the Moscow Heritage Committee this week in Moscow. We were hoping that the director would be here today, and discovered that they'd done quite a lot of work with our report, and I was delighted to find out that several buildings had been listed that were in the under threat section, including this, which is the Institute of the Red Professor, and they had the meeting about it yesterday, and it's passed. It hasn't achieved absolute monument status yet. The Moscow Heritage Committee has approved it, but it's gone up to a parliamentary level because of the nature of the investor behind it. So we'll have to see what happens at the next stage. But at any rate, it's got through the first stage. I'll go into a bit later sort of the Moscow Heritage Committee response to our report, but just wanted to show you this building, this complex of buildings, in fact, the Institute of the Red Professor on Bolshaya Pedagogskaya, which is in the process of being listed. And then this is a worker settlement, Daugarovka, 1928 to 1930, which is also has also been listed, in fact. But we all know that listed status, as we've seen today from many examples, it doesn't ensure protection. The Russian preservation laws are excellent, but they're not always observed, or they're sometimes amended, like the 2004 law on zoning, which meant that historic buildings could be built in historic zones. So nothing new or nothing jarring with what was already existing there. And what we saw then, it was a very positive law, we all felt, in 2004, but as predicted, it just means that the historic zones have been narrowed, have been reduced. So this is the kind of amendment that happens to get around certain laws. The public voice on this matter is certainly getting stronger in Moscow, and the Moscow Heritage Committee response to the report shows that. But it's a dangerous game as well, because when I went into the Moscow Heritage Committee and saw the work they'd been doing and the big document that they'd compiled in reaction to the report, I thought, oh God, that's fantastic. What a great dialogue. But actually, I found out that it was a document being prepared to take us to court. But actually, they decided not to do that because we're not sort of important enough. Which, you know, I was a bit annoyed about that. But at the same time, very relieved. We're very relieved that we're not going to court, because that would be a nightmare. But it's a reality that journalists involved in this and campaigners involved in this are taken to court. And Grigory Revzin is now in the process of being taken to court by Pasokhin architect for his article about the so-called restoration of Tsaritsyna, which was in Kommersant a month ago or so. And this is a reality, especially for the Russian citizens campaigning on the ground in Russia. And Alexei Komich, to whom this report is dedicated, was in a long court case with the mayor of Moscow for defamation of the reputation, the image of Moscow, before he died. After this... Let's say that the advocacy campaign, which of course takes a long time, but if we're taking the last few years into account and this wind of change into account, we can say that there's been some success in the advocacy campaign, conducted by many different groups and bolstered by coverage in the press and the international press. And the next step is restoration, as Jean-Louis Cohen writes in his introduction to Richard Pair's book, as John Stubbs spoke about yesterday. The vital thing is a precedent is needed. And also these buildings shouldn't just be seen as independent monuments, because what's the use of just having a city which is made up of independent monuments without a clear function? Their function has to be brought up to date as well, or revived. And they have to be seen in terms of the city and not as separate things which are just annoying kind of protuberances for developers and for the Moscow city. So a precedent is needed, and there are several contenders for that, and they could all be precedents at the same time. The buildings which are attracting the main attention at the moment, which are Narkom Fin and the Melnikov House and the Borovyesnik. And the importance of creating a precedent makes the responsibility of those involved at the moment really huge. And it's important to appreciate that, and to appreciate the efforts of absolutely everyone involved in this at the moment, from the investor to academics to journalists to architects, because all the efforts are important, which that's shown by the sort of fairly complex campaign that's been going on for years, and even the small parts that people play in it are absolutely vital to it. But why is it so difficult? Why are there these problems if suddenly it's all changing? There is still a whole raft of problems. And one of the things is that in Moscow, business and the authorities are very close, particularly the construction business and the authorities are very close. The authorities, Moscow authorities, city authorities, are still very derisive of the avant-garde, despite the small changes. Jean-Louis Cohen yesterday quoted Khrushchev, saying that these buildings are just plain sin, ugly as sin. And Lushkov said in the last few years, he said, "Ani pluska mordnia, ani," they're kind of flat face, they're kind of but flat, kind of flat mugged, sort of crude, flat. So he is, in that sense, carrying on where Khrushchev left off. And also the sale or the lease. These buildings, you've seen, Anka's talked about them, everyone's been talking about them. These are examples of buildings which aren't precedents, they're compromises and disastrous compromises. This is the interior of the Borovyesnik, which is going to need lots of work. and the bread factory, which I'll finish on later. But the Narkomfin, part of the Narkomfin complex, has been sold or leased to the governor of the Kaliningradskaya Oblast. This is a division of a complex, of an ensemble, which shows on the part of the authorities, those who gave permission to do it, a lack of understanding of the building of the complex as a single unit. And this is a major problem. And as again, what Jean-Louis Cohen today said about Le Corbusier building Centre Sayouz, that the people working in it even didn't believe that it was built by Le Corbusier. So again, this all shows very much the need for a precedent, because that's what is going to be the most powerful thing in the change of people's attitudes towards these buildings. I was in the Russian countryside just before I came here looking at abandoned churches of the 19th century, and we met with the vice governor of the Tver region, and he said, "Well, why is this organisation bothering trying to repair these churches in the middle of nowhere? People aren't interested in them anymore. They've been abandoned. They're neglected." And the organisation who we went with, Obshchina Veselskaya Tserkovna, they said, "We've seen again and again when we've patched up these churches, that has brought people to these places. It's quite hard to believe." But Moscow is a less radical situation in terms of, you know, there is a population there who can appreciate these buildings. And it's really true that, of course, these buildings haven't got the support of the Moscow citizens. They've been neglected and derided pretty much since the 1930s. But if and when some of these buildings are given proper restoration and new life, then people will respond to that. It's a certainty. This is new territory for almost everyone involved, from the creation of the foundations to the physical restoration of the buildings. I'm nearly finished. To the ownership questions and the privatisation. The avant-garde has got to now find a way to exist in an absolutely new era. But where there is a will, there is a way. And the will seems to have appeared. International involvement is absolutely imperative for restoration expertise. And in order to see this through, it's important to maintain pressure from within and without outside Russia. The avant-garde was an international movement, and so is the movement to preserve it. Just a final word on the bread factory that Richard's been showing us film of, that this is another example of a compromise, really, rather than a kind of really dedicated restoration plan, that the central silhouette is going to be maintained, the chimney is going to be removed, and two large office blocks, about 30 stories tall, are going to be built behind it. So this means that the silhouette is going to be destroyed, and also the internal mechanisms have already been removed and thrown out. So as Barry Bagdell said, Richard's work is already a historical document. Leave it. Okay, maybe I'll come back.